The Lord wants us to be endued with His power from on high, and we need to be strengthened not by my power nor by my strength, but by my Spirit, says in Zechariah. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And Paul is here this morning saying, hey, this is what's going on. You know, I can see Luke writing down these words and trembling with his hands just through the Spirit of God as he's being inspired to write these beautiful words. We see last week that, you know, there was a big uprising in Jerusalem. You had people that were very upset with Paul because there were lies that went around. You know, some people believe more in lies today than they do the truth. And because of that, people are inclined to be suckers, unfortunately, because they don't do their homework. You just look at the news media today. You know, they take that as gospel truth. I don't believe in the media. I believe in the truth and the Word of God, and I compare everything according to the Word of God. We have to, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Sneaky little serpents, and they'll bite you. They want to destroy your lives. I'm talking about the unseen world. I'm talking about the demonic realm. So, you had Paul. He was lied about. Remember, he had taken some Christians with him into the temple. They did the Nazarene vow, and that was all in good because Paul was saying, I want to be all things to all people. Today, we are trying to reach, and I entitled this message, Paul's Testimony, because our testimony, people need to testify of Christ. If you go to an auto mechanic, and, you know, you can talk about, you know, your beat up car, you know. I don't know how to change oil or something like that, you know. But then you can tell them about Christ too. You know, I had a beat up life too. And, Christ made me a new person. He changed my oil for me. I can think better. I can run better. I can go places now. You know, he checks out my tires, makes sure they're inflated right so they don't wear out. Cost me hundreds of dollars down the road. Good maintenance. Good times. And God wants us to have good maintenance with His Word. To maintain His Word, what? In our hearts so we don't sin against Him. So Paul, here he was. He took the Nazarene vow. And you had a few liars going around saying, oh, he took a Gentile into the temple. Well, of course, when the people found out about that, we talked about that a few weeks ago, they got all upset. Tell people about Jesus Christ, you're going to have some people get upset. Why? Because they love their sin. Sin always looks good. It's for a season, and then it lets people down, and it destroys them. And some people get hooked on their sins. And so, greater is He that is in us than he is in the world. Okay? Where there was sin, grace much more abound. So Paul knew this. So here he was. They had a riot. You remember that the captain of the guard from the Fort Antonia, which is in the northeastern side of Jerusalem, the fort could oversee, could see what was founded, what was written, and they could say that the fort could oversee the temple in the area in Jerusalem. So they saw what was going on. The people were getting upset. Literally, they had to call two centurions out there, 200 soldiers, to rescue Paul because that crowd was going to tear him apart. You get that many people angry at you, it's better to get away from a mob. But Paul loved these people. Paul wasn't speaking against them. He says, I'm one of yours. In society today, we are one of one another. We are part of one another. We're part of the body of Christ. When one person hurts, the other person hurts. When we pray for another. My goodness, we've had so many people who've been out of duty. You know, they've been praying. You know, when I was in the military, you know, you had sick days. If you had to take a sick day, Well, you know what? You didn't stay in your barracks. You didn't go somewhere else. You know, you had to go to sick bay. And the aircraft carrier I had to go, I was in, if you were sick, guess what? You had to go to your bunk and you had to stay there all day long if you were sick. So you better be sick. Here today, we've had a lot of people have been ill. People have had problems. And there's been a load of prayer. There's been all kinds of loading on prayer on people that God would strengthen them. He'd work everything out together for good. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses. Because he loves us who are called according to his purpose, you know. And so Paul was there. He was like, oh, I'm in trouble. And the 200 people on each under each centurion. And he went out there and he divided the crowd. And they had to carry Paul out of there. And it has the idea of carrying somebody out there, right up on their shoulders. It was so bad. And so you can talk about somebody who got God's overseeing them. And thank God, God has carried us through a lot of problems in our lives. And he will continue to do it because we believe on it by faith in grace. We are our justification comes through faith. And I was telling that teacher the other day, we have a lot of plans, but we're going to do this by faith. I don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen in our lives, but we go on by faith. And that's the best word. I love that word, faith and love. And so then we see what happened was is that he was taken to the fort. He's carried up the steps, and he could oversee the crowd. And remember that the captain of the guard was told, hey, you know, so what are we going to do with this guy named Paul? So Paul was saying to them, look, I want to speak. I want to say something to them. Now, he was speaking in Greek to certain people. And Paul knew a couple languages. Now he's going to speak Hebrew. It's nice to know some languages, especially if you're a missionary overseas. It's always nice to know. You don't try to Americanize people when you're a missionary. Been there, done that. You try to work with their culture. You try to be part of that culture. But you have Christ, which is your head, and your body that directs you. And people can see the difference between being an American, being somebody, let's say, in the Czech Republic, or somebody who's a Christian. And so, you know, Christ first. So, he told the people to be, you know, ask people. No, he didn't ask the people. People, you know, when God does things supernaturally, I'm not talking about the world's supernatural things with Halloween. They get into all this weird stuff out there. And by the way, it's on the increase. Weird things are happening out there. It never happened before. But there was a silence in the crowd. People got real quiet. And they gave an opportunity. You know, we need to take opportunities too when it's quiet. God says, be still and know that I'm God. And things get real quiet. You can't hear a pin drop. Lady from our church, I remember at the band shell, she got up there and she sang and like, couldn't hear a pin drop around us. It's like, well, she's got some sort of voice. She was giving glory to God. July 4th, marching songs. And I was just like, Kimberly sat next to me and she goes, my goodness, some of those songs my grandmother used to sing to. She remembered those songs. God can use us. My point is, she didn't want no attention. She was giving glory to God. Every one of you, us, do that too. We really do. We want glory to give to God. See Christ in us, our testimony. So Paul's testimony was on the line. Sometimes we're called on the carpet. Sometimes we have to give an answer. I hope that lies in us with all meekness and fear. So we're called on the carpet amongst people different times of the day, different times of the week. You know, our opportunity is there to shine for Christ. And so here he was, and here we go. See, number one, his great love for the people. It says, men and brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I make unto you. He's ready to give an apologetic, a defense of the faith for the reason of hope that lies within him. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. we should be ashamed is when we take, give ourselves a pat on the back when we walk out of the room after doing something for the Lord. No! It goes to the Lord. He'll take care of the rest. He'll pick up the pieces. You know, we have our joy of the Lord as our strength, right? So there he was. He says, I'll give you a defense. He says, my brothers, my fathers. And he was talking to the whole group, the religious group. He's also talking to the people that he persecuted. You have to remember, it's been 20 years since he had his experience on the road of Damascus. 20 years, fast forward, here he is, and he's been through 3 missionary journeys. He's planted a lot of churches by God's grace. He's been called to the Gentiles, he's been called to the Jews. He's been all things to all people, as we have been. If we could pull back a scroll back on our lives, I'm sure we would see paragraph after paragraph in our lives what we've done for Jesus Christ. And we keep on marching on by faith. And so here he is. He goes, now, you know, they say the best defense is a good offense. It's always good to have that sword when you have the armor of God on, an offensive and defensive weapon, because our enemy does not give up. He doesn't. And there's a battle for the mind today, battle for our souls. Even though we're saved and he knows he's doomed, he's angry and he's frustrated and he wants to take out each one of us. You know, and it's amazing. Last week I said in Sunday school, I said, you know, I had a really rough day yesterday. I don't know why, but I just seemed like I couldn't get anything right. It seemed like there's something just on me, you know. And then there were some people were saying in Sunday school, yeah, I went through the same thing too. Kind of strange. You know, when you go through spiritual battles, nobody knows except you yourself. And you're alone with the Lord, and he says, I can't seem to shake this presence off of me. And that's the best time to start fasting, to pray, because the enemy wants us to get down low. He doesn't want us to stand up and shine. He wants us to crawl, you know, and he wants to humiliate us and make us sin. So we need to stand up and fight back for the Lord. You know, even trying, I tried to lay down or rest or do something, go for a walk, and, you know, sometimes we just have to fight it out. Sometimes all of us here today have had to fight our battles, and nobody's ever been there for us except for the Lord. The Lord's been by our side in his word. Let me move on here. So it says, and when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more silence. And he saith, now he wasn't begging. He wasn't trying to go ahead and pretend that he was scared. But this is what love does. Look here in verse 3. It says, I'm barely a man. He looks in his former life. Okay, when we give our testimony, we usually go, what, you know, a quick 5-minute testimony is what happened to you in the past, what you're doing in the present, and what's going to happen in the future. Make it very short, because the attention span of people are very short. Very short. And especially with young ones. And when you try to witness to them, you got to witness to them very quickly to get their attention. Because TV and the screen has taken all that away. We don't have that excitement anymore, because all we want, and I'm not saying we, but as people, as mankind, we want pleasure. We want instant gratification. We want that hamburger. I call this the hamburger society we live in today. But people want it now, you know, and they think they expect it. And you know what? God's grace, we pray for it. We're praying. So Paul, it says this, in his former life, he says, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarshish, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in the city of the feet of Gamaliel. And we'll see here that he was a Roman citizen. He says, I'm a Jew. I was brought up by one of the best rabbis ever, if not at that time. So he had the best training. He had all the bells and whistles. Some of us today come from the best backgrounds. We've had the best teachings. We've had the best parents. We had been to the best schools. You know, besides life's problems, we could be very thankful. He was. You know, compared to some of the third world countries today, we've been very blessed. And he says here, and I taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. So he was claiming here that, you know, you think you're all zealous. You think that you're all you know, excited about God. Well, so am I. I'm like you all. And here he's talking to people that he knew in that crowd that crucified Christ. Some of them were old enough for that. Some of those people in that crowd hated him because he was the persecutor. Remember, Paul went to the road to Damascus, 130 miles from Jerusalem, and he was so zealous he wanted to kill and arrest Christians. Remember that? He says, I'm just like you all. I breathe, I eat, I brush my teeth, I do the same thing, but I went beyond that because I love you. And it says here that to the people, verse 4, it says here that I persecuted this way unto the death. In other words, persecuted to this way meant that the church was called the way. If you were going down the street, you met another Christian, you would, draw the fish in the sand. It was symbolic there for, ones that knew that they were of Christ. It was a secret society because of persecution. And Paul is saying, hey, I'm of the way, you know. And they understood what the way meant. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other person that can come unto the Father but by him. So it says here, and then he says this. It's interesting. And he says, and persecuted this way unto death, verse 4, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. So you had all kinds of people that were being thrown in there. And of course, he got their attention. As also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders. It's interesting because he's speaking to the religious people too. Where does he go in the next chapter? He goes to the Sanhedrin. He goes, talks to them. And of course, they get angry and they treat him like they treated Christ. And they will do that to us too. Jesus warns us about that in his Gospels. You know, if we're going to live for Christ, we're going to pay the price. You know? And so, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren and went to Damascus to bring, verse 5, them which were there bound into Jerusalem for to be punished. So, he was trying to tell people, hey, look, you know, I am a Jew. I'm not Gentile, but there was a lie going around saying that I took somebody into the temple and for Nazarite vow, me and about four other people. And there was one person that started a spark and it started a fire amongst the people, a gossip, it was lies, rumors. And he says, I'm just like you. What he's trying to do when he's testifying, he's saying, look, I have something in common. When we witness to people today, how should I witness? Well, you want to have something that's in common. My wife was playing guitar on the porch a few months ago, and I was singing along with her, thinking nothing of it. It was a beautiful evening. And we weren't trying to get attention from anybody. You know, we're just thanking the Lord. And their neighbors that are adjacent to us in the apartments heard us. And when we were done, they started clapping. Hey, that was pretty good. We enjoyed that. And I was just like, what? I was just like, we're trying to be quiet. You know, just it's hard being quiet when you're a Christian, right? It is so very hard. And, you know, really. We were like, hey, we're doing this as unto the Lord. But I said, yeah, I told Kimberly, I said, you know what? I said, they're hearing our testimony. We weren't doing it for us. We're doing it unto the Lord. But they heard it. That's good. Good news. People need to hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether they believe it or not, they know that we're on fire for the Lord. We are flames burning in this dark world. And, you know, the more there is, the more we bring it on, okay? Lord, fill my cup, let it overflow. So getting back here, back to Paul. So he goes into his testimony, and now he's talking about his conversion, verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me. It's amazing about this. It has the idea here of a great light has the idea it was a brighter than the sun. You know, when we look at the sun, you know, you can't look at it because that could hurt our eyes. That could even blind people. Can you imagine the Shekinah glory? The glory of God was brighter than the sun. That just like wows me. Remember in Acts chapter 9, Paul's conversion? You know, he's walking along. Some people in the world today say, oh, I saw the light. You know, it's kind of a mocking gesture. And yet, you know, we live in a very dark world. And the God of this world blinds the minds of people who don't know Jesus Christ. It's just amazing. You can tell them about Jesus. You can show them out of God's word. You can have it written all over you. You can have it written over your vehicles. You can be all things, try to be, and yet people don't see it. It's right there, right in front of their face. They don't see it. They're blinded. They're not spiritually discerned. They're, to them, it's foolishness. You know, you can sit down and have a sit-down conversation, an apologetic, a defense of the faith with somebody that they don't want to hear because you don't want to do this when you witness to people. You don't want to make them stronger in their belief. You want to love them first of all, and then you want to, you know, say, look, Lord, you pray because you can't change people's minds. Lord does that. And you pray that God will reveal, turn back the pages, peel away the blindness. Remember, Paul, he was blind for 3 days. Okay? He fasted. And we're going to get to Ananias here in a minute. So, it says here, verse 7, and I fell unto the ground and heard the voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecuted me? Verse 8, and I answered him, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. So, it's interesting when God speaks to us. You know, the people around Paul, they saw this light, but they couldn't hear what was going on. They, you know, sometimes God speaks to us when he doesn't speak to anybody else around us. You ever had that happen to you before? The Holy Spirit of God is just speaking to you. You're like, oh, okay, I got it. No problem. Light bulb gets screwed in tighter. You become brighter and brighter in your thinking. You're thinking, okay, I got this. And God leads you on. So Paul got it real quick. You know, here he was trying, he was saying, look, I was doing everything I could. You meet some religious people today thinking they are doing the best thing. They think they're totally righteous, totally right with God, but they're further from the truth. They don't know Christ as their Savior, but yet they are so deceived. Verse 9 says this, and they that were with me indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I love what Paul says, and I said, what shall I do, Lord? It's interesting that Paul realized that he did what was wrong and he wanted to do what was right. You know, when we come to a point in our Christian walk and we ask ourselves, Lord, am I doing right or am I doing wrong? That is when we have to get serious with God because he won't get serious with us if we don't. We play in sin, it's going to hurt us, it's going to bite us, it's going to poison us. And so sin can come in any which way, but dearly beloved, I really believe that, you know, Paul wanted the Lord. And he said, and I love this because he says this. He says, and I said, verse 10, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise. You know, that response, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all the things which are appointed for thee. So right away, our response is first thing in the morning. I know for us all here, we're all mature Christians. It's like, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Yeah, I already know I got to go to work. I got responsibilities. I got a family to love. I got people. I have things to do. What do you want me to do? It's the first response of a Christian's good heart. And so, Lord gives us directions. There's a lot of crossroads today in our lives. A lot of things that don't make sense, just like when we had Brian McIntyre preach last Sunday, and never in my wildest imagination would I have thought that I had gotten a letter from him in the middle of the week stating that a 2-year-old boy starved to death because of churches. This spirit baby, actually, he's got some issues. You know, just let it go. It's, you know, nothing we can do for it. You know, oh, that's churches. And thank God that we have a way that seems right to us. But there are ways that seem right unto mankind, and in the end means death. And there are a lot of ways out there today. But it just crushes my heart. A lot of churches out here, not all of them, a lot of churches don't preach the gospel. Not anymore. Even in archaeological places where you have Christians visit places where they'll tell you, oh, we don't believe in the whole Bible. They'll actually tell you that. Or even seminaries. Oh, they used to believe in that. We don't believe in the whole Bible. Of course not. That is really going on today. And you're like, why do they even call themselves seminaries, you know? Or why do they call themselves archaeologists, Christian archaeologists? They're further from the truth. First, you know, the steps go down. They don't go up. So Paul's preaching here in Jerusalem. The people are quiet. They're listening. So far, so good. Good testimony. They're coming along with it. They're saying, okay, this is my Christian Jewish brother. And then he says, verse 11, with his testimony, and when I could not see for the glory of light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And it's amazing that he was humble. Sometimes God has to get us our attention to humble us. He needs to put the blinders on sometimes in our lives. It's called chastisement. None of us want to be chastised by God. But sometimes God has to move us into a very uncomfortable position. And not for once, because I tell you, out of the book of Acts, I'll make this strong point. Listen to me now. This is so important. So many people misinterpret the book of Acts. I'm very thankful for one lady who came to me when I first got here. She says, well, you preach through the book of Acts. I was like, oh, this is great. Because we'll deal with these doctrinal issues, all kinds of doctrinal mistakes that people make through the book of Acts. And we're going to get to one in a minute here. But you see, Paul was humbled. He was blind. And he fasted for those 3 days. Remember that in Acts 9. And it says, and I could not see for the glory and the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me. I came into Damascus, verse 12. And Ananias, devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all Jews which dwelt there, and came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And then verse 14, and God said to God, the God of our fathers, well, listen to this, looked up upon him, and it said, the God of our fathers who had chosen thee. Now, you see, number one, when Paul's commission, God's giving Paul his commission here, he says, number one, God chooses us. You know, we don't save ourselves. God saved us. God saw through the portals of time that we would come to be born again, not by water, not from a woman's womb, but by the Spirit, in John chapter 3. And so we have been chosen. And God never chooses people to go to hell and chooses people to go to heaven. That's not what we believe in the Bible. He predestines. He foreknew from times past to future. Then we see here, number two, that he chose thee that thou shouldest know his will. So we see number two, that we need to know God's will. You know, it's very important because there's a lot of lies. There's a lot of deception in the world today. And people are more and more people believing in lies. Just watch the news. We see it today, but we have the truth. That's why our time is short, and we need to tell the little ones about Christ. We need to tell everybody about Christ, because we don't know if we're promised tomorrow. We don't know. And that's why I'm pleading with everybody here this morning. I believe the Lord wants me to say that we need to make the best of each day. And it says, see also here, number 3 in verse 14, see the just one. So Paul needs to see the just one. In other words, we need to be focused on the Lord. And you know, God knows we have responsibilities. We have a quadrillion of them. There are so many things that happen every day, but God wants us to put our focus on our family, on our church, on our loved ones, on those around us, our neighbors, every day. Then also we see here too, and thou shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, his word. You need to be focused on his word as well, you know. And so that's so important. We need to be praying. And thank God we have here at our church. Verse 15, for thou shalt be a witness unto all men in what thou hast seen and heard. So, there's the commission. You're going to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the othermost parts. Paul's saying, I just traveled 130 miles to Damascus wanting to persecute Christians. He's telling this crowd of people, thousands of people in the temple, he's saying, this is what I did. I'm like you. And he says, for thou shalt be a witness unto me and to all men what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins by calling upon the name of the Lord. Aha! Baptism regeneration. People have told me, oh, you were a baby, right? In the Episcopal Church, doesn't just being baptized get you to heaven? They take that context and they pull it way out of proportion. They don't study God's Word. You compare Scripture with Scripture. It's raw truths all there. Bible doesn't contradict itself. The Jewish mind, remember, this is written here to Christian Jews as well as Gentile Jews. They thought that, remember, back in Acts chapter 1 and 2, we talked about baptism and regeneration. They were like, oh, we know what you're talking about, Paul. I don't think people today, pastors and teachers, don't get it today. The Jewish mind would think, look, before Christ came, who would baptize? John the Baptist came along, right? And he baptized people in the name of the Lord. So the Lord is coming. The Jewish mindset thought, the Messiah is coming. We're going to baptize. It's an outward manifestation of what's going to happen on the inside once the Messiah comes. Jesus came. And remember, he was baptized in the Spirit. And remember, after that, you had Christ who died. Well, the Jewish mindset was thinking, okay, I got this. So I was already baptized. Jesus came. I accepted him into my heart. And now, does that mean I have to get baptized again? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Because it was what happened before. Paul was saying through the Holy Spirit to these people in the temple, he says, you know, arise. You know, I had to get baptized. Paul knew what it was about. My goodness, he had the best teaching. He had all this knowledge, and he knew how to interact. He knew how to communicate. And so the Jewish mindset knew this. But it does not mean that you have to be baptized to be saved. And it can be a trick the devil pulls on you if you look at it and you say, Pastor David says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. So that means I get up, I go get baptized, and my sins are all going away. That's further from the truth. That is a lie. Okay? The reader, the people of that time knew the Jews got baptized before Christ came, and after Christ came and he died on the cross, that Christians would come forward, and after they got saved, it was all symbolic. It's like the Lord's Supper. It's symbolic. It does not save you. So that's one of the problems in Acts. It's a traditional, transitional book, and people fall into that lie all the time. A lot of places I've been, it's that same lie. And Mormonism believes in baptism. Catholic Church believes in baptism. You know, gets you to heaven. And it's a damnable doctrine. I mean, damnable. It's like Paul said in Galatians 1, let them be accursed. In other words, it's double damnation, a double negative in the Greek. Okay? So I would not want to be part of sending people straight to hell. You have people today are sending droves of people to hell through all kinds of music, all kinds of teaching, deception. you know, people, the blind following the blind. So, he comes here, Paul says, by calling on the name of the Lord, verse 17, it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. So remember, the Apostle John was in a trance there in the island of Patmos. And Paul was in a trance at this time. And he's telling the people, he says, I was in a trance. And he says, and I was praying and was in the temple. And I saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. He remembers 20 years before, after he had been in Arabia, in that area there, and also in Damascus for that 3 years that he stayed around there, that God was calling him to be a preacher unto the Gentiles and to the Jews. And so sometimes God gets our attention. I'm not saying we go into trances. I'm saying that God gets our attention in prayers. The Holy Spirit is just knocking at our hearts and our minds. And like, okay, Lord, I got it. So, says here, and I saw them saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. In other words, he's saying, get out of Jerusalem, go on your missionary journeys. I have a lot of work for you to do. Remember, for over about 10,000 miles he traveled in his 3 missionary journeys. He went many places. He suffered for Christ, as we all do today. We do suffer in one way or another. Not maybe in one extremity or another, but we do suffer. In age, we suffer in rejection. We suffer in all kinds of ways. And so, it says here, and I said unto the Lord, they know that I have been imprisoned and beaten in every synagogue, them that believe on thee. And so, and then when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also stayed by him, consenting unto his death, and kept the remnant of them that slew him. He's saying, look, people, I was there when they took Stephen. And remember that in Acts. What they would do is that you would have an accuser and another and another. And they would take somebody who was going to be stoned. They'd take him to these pits outside of Jerusalem. And you'd have the ones that accused would hold the raiment. Would hold the raiment of the accusatory. And that person would be down in the pit. And they would throw dirt up in the air. And that would mean that God is angry. And so there was that time Paul was there. Paul was there. He was the accusatory. He's saying, people, look, I'm like you all right? I was a persecutor. I understand. I know your mindset. And then it says, verse 21, and he said unto me, depart, and I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Everything was going great until then. Everything was going fine until you use that word Gentile. Why did they get upset? Look at verses 22 and 23. Why did they get upset? Because they were like, they're not, you're talking about they had to be a proselyte. A proselyte was somebody who was a Gentile who became a Jew. And saying, oh, really? You're going to make Gentiles equal with us? Sometimes when people get mad at you for the name of Christ, it's better just to walk away. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Sometimes it's wiser. You have to prove how big you are, how strong you are. No, you have to go ahead and, you know, the battle's the Lord's. Sometimes it's better just to walk away from that. You might have spiritual battles. You have to make big decisions in your life. Make sure those decisions, like being equally yoked with one another, you know, when somebody finds somebody that they like, make sure they're equally yoked. God says you don't want to be unequally yoked. What about, you know, this, the Jews now, they were saying, oh, you put us on par with the Gentiles? In Acts, and we don't have time, but Deuteronomy 13, they were saying, it says in there that anybody who speaks a false prophet should be stoned. He speaks contrary to the word of God. It's right there in the Mosaic Law. So these people, oh, they heard that and it just changed it from night to day. And they gave him audience unto the word and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow, from the earth. You know, they did that with Jesus, told Jesus, away with him. Away with him. In other words, your days, your minutes are numbered. And then such a fellow from the earth, and it is not fit that we should live. In closing, and as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. In other words, Paul remembered because he was holding the accuser's clothes that were accusing Stephen. What a place. Jesus said this about Paul. He said to those, he says, Jesus said, he's going to suffer a lot. You know, Paul's going to suffer a lot. I remember Jesus saying that earlier. And, you know, sometimes some of us have to suffer greatly. Not because of the bad things we've done. I'm not going there. But sometimes God has called some of us really to suffer. And some of you have really suffered. You know, I have the wow factor here. I'm like, how do you even go through this? I don't get it. It's not for me to understand. Remember, Jesus said this to Peter at the end of John. Peter says, well, what about John? What about him? What did Jesus say? Jesus says, don't worry about John, Peter. Be concerned about what you got to do. Get moving on. You know, that verse stuck me for years. And I stopped, you know, praying for other people. But, you know, God's got everybody taken care of. He loves you. He's giving you that spiritual hug. You got our focus on him. So, you know, it turned around. But you realize that Paul, you know, was, you would think that was it. I'm closing with this. But it wasn't. In our lives, sometimes we think, well, the book closes here. No, it doesn't. Because our lives aren't over yet. You know, God supersedes time. And he supersedes man's affairs. And what happened next is that he was given a chance to speak to the Sanhedrin. You would think they would listen to him, since Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And sometimes you think, when we give a testimony, you think, well, this person will understand. No, the God of this world has blinded them. But should we ever give up on them? No, I know we don't. We pray for them, because we know by the grace of God, so are we. You know? And so, closing with this, just pray that we can be a testimony. It's just like in Acts 26, Paul gave a testimony to the Gentiles. And then we see in Philippi, he gave a theological testimony. And in the book of Philippians, in 1 Timothy, he gave a testimony of encouragement. So there are all kinds of testimonies, all kinds of flavors to choose from that would be the right flavor for somebody. It'd be like, this is good. I like this. Okay? 99.9% of the time, people will listen to us and give them a chance to, you know, give us a chance, Lord, to witness to people. A lot of people out there, a lot of busy people. Yesterday, it seems like everybody was in such a hurry. I think the cold weather speeds everybody up. I think they're just like in a hurry. I'm cold. I got to go, you know, and it's just like, okay, Lord, I got this, you know, but Paul seized the circumstances and the opportunity. He exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to maintain a proper attitude. And all these things, we know this. When the Holy Spirit lays it on our heart to witness, we'll witness, we'll give a testimony. But, you know, for us, it's not over with yet. We still have a lot more work to do. And I'm saying, go on by faith. If anything you learned today, go on by faith. Stay focused on the Word. And God will bless you. I will guarantee you. Just give him a chance. And he has, and I've seen that all written on your faces. He's given you us all chances. And so, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord. No matter how much the enemy, comes back at us through trials, or we may have tribulations, that Lord, we can rejoice and we give thanks. Lord, sometimes your word is just so serious. And other times it can be funny too, because you're a God of love. And Lord, we thank you that we can be good testimonies, good witnesses in our lives. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for the death on the cross, for us, mankind. And we thank you for the resurrection. Lord, we just pray that we'll know when to open our mouth, we'll know when to close it. And thank you that we can all rejoice because our days are numbered. Our time, Lord, we want to give our best to you and help us to give our best to you. And just pray if there's somebody here who doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, that they will come to know you. You speak to them. You woo them. You show them, Lord, that they need you. And Lord, we just pray that you'll do the work that you've done since the foundation of the world, that you work that work in us, Lord, that God, that they will come to know you. And help us to continue to walk with you for the foundation of time that you had planned, Lord, that we will do your will. To our ultimate goal here in this life is to glorify you in all that we say and do. And help, Lord, this week that people see Jesus in us. And I thank you for the saints here, the marching saints, marching onward Christian soldiers, Lord. And we thank you there's not a bulwark, as Martin Luther said, there's not a fortress that cannot be taken down through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And help us to believe it and live it. And we thank you, Lord, for the good fight, the good faith that we have in you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.